It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers, and this week, all things DC, as DC had their Fan Dome for 2021, and I will say it delivered on most of what I was hoping for. You know, there was a few things I wanted a bit more of, and we'll get through it as we break it down. But overall, another successful DC fandom. I think they need to keep doing this. It's great. There was a lot of filler. Don't get me wrong. It could have been a shorter event. But we will get into what they did tell us about and a little bit of what they didn't. And some things they didn't talk about kind of surprised me a little bit. Really did. But let's get into the event itself. It opened with one of the most anticipated kind of panels, I guess we'll call them, of the show. And that was Black Adam. You know, everybody was kind of waiting to get their first official look at The Rock as Black Adam. What were we going to see? What were we not going to see? You know, how much did they have ready? As far as full-on movie footage goes, they didn't have a whole lot prepared. And that's fine. The movie, I think, is just finishing shooting or just finished shooting. So they're definitely, you know, deep in post-production. But I will say what they did show us was nothing short of amazing. It was so badass. So they gave us basically the introduction of the character in the film. And within the first 5 seconds of the character there, he fries a guy to death. Just electrocutes him down to bone and dust. Like, if you want a great introduction for a guy that's been a villain, you know, he's kind of getting thrown into more of the anti-hero role now, but his origin is that of a villain. This is the best way to introduce him. So absolutely fantastic. For me, being a fan of the Dr. Fate character, who's a bit lesser known, first off, the casting of Pierce Brosnan, when they announced that, I was over the moon about. I was always a fan of his as Bond and just thought he's a solid actor. But got to see the helmet a little bit. Looked great. It was just a couple of quick fleeting shots. And they continue to build the hype machine for Black Adam. And I'm telling you, this thing is going to be huge. If that first taste, like, that was like having a really great bite of a burger, you know, and you're like, man, I want that whole burger. And that little taste is just not enough. So now you're anticipating the whole thing. That was that little taste of Black Adam. Great job by DC. Great job by The Rock introducing it, talking about it. He's been so passionate about this project that is something that I think takes my anticipation for another level. I'm always excited when, even if they're faking it, but when the actors seem genuinely connected to the character they're playing, I feel like there's an extra layer of care being put into the film. So Black Adam, absolutely great way to start fandom and a great way to start the, I don't want to even say start the hype machine, but really continue the hype machine for that movie. Jump ahead to The Flash, which was another one of the most highly anticipated panels for DC fandom. And again, they didn't have much to show. I thought The Flash was going to have more. When we get into a little bit of kind of disappointments, The Flash one goes down as an exciting one for me and also a bit of a disappointment. And when I say it was a disappointment, it was just because I really thought they were going to have more to show. And then having the director come out and, you know, to reveal for DC fandom, of course, that gets your mind spinning, right? And of course, the internet started with, oh, we're going to find out Henry Cavill's in there as Superman, at least as a cameo or, you know, something big. And really, we didn't get anything big as far as new information, but we did get our first kind of look at it. And it was a great little tease. It sets up, obviously, The Flash's story about trying to save his mother. Great voiceover by Michael Keaton, of course, who's returning as Batman. I had chills when you just saw the back of his cowl in the trailer. I honestly, like, goosebumps for me as a huge Batman fan, especially when it comes to Batman movies. That 1989 Batman movie for me is probably one of the more important films ever made. And so to just the back of his cowl and just to see that was amazing. And then the big thing that we got out of the footage from The Flash was a look at the new suit. And I gotta say, new suit looks sleek. Like, it looks like Flash. And they're doing a little bit of... I hate to compare it to this because this movie was not very well received. So it's kind of a bad comparison. But if you remember the Green Lantern film, which some people try to forget, but if you remember the Green Lantern film, how kind of the energy was pulsating through the suit, it seems like in one of these clips when he stops running, there's kind of these lines of yellow that are bright, and it seemed like as he started to walk, they dimmed. So it's almost like these lines are helping focus the Speed Force almost, which looked really cool in practicality in the film. And I'm excited to see this suit in action. I've seen some people shitting on it, but I don't know why you would shit on this. It is a badass looking Flash suit. Super, super excited for the Flash. We'll switch over to DC TV for a little bit, because there were some cool announcements there. First off, the Peacemaker full-on trailer. It's exactly the same tone as the Suicide Squad, which I love. If you obviously saw the movie and you enjoyed the movie, then you're going to enjoy at least the tone and feel of the Peacemaker show. And they're, teasing that they're going to give the guy a little bit of heart. And which I think is necessary for the character if he's going to grow. He can't just be 100% douchebag all the time. As entertaining as that can be, it's going to grow stale. So we got to layer up Peacemaker a little bit, and it looks like they're doing that. Funny. I laughed out loud a few times at the trailer, and I'm really looking forward to it. And it's coming out on my birthday. So we found out its release date, January 13th, is when it will be dropping on HBO Max. So that is some sweet news. Also great news for Doom Patrol and Titans. They both officially announced season 4 for each show. That is wicked news. Doom Patrol, I think to me, is probably one of the most overlooked things that's happening in comic books right now as far as like television and movies. The show is so quirky and so weird and so out there, and yet it works. It's really a testament to everyone involved with Doom Patrol. The acting, the writing, the directing, the stories, everything just fits in this really, like, if you walked into a room, I think, and tried to describe Doom Patrol to somebody, they would look at you very puzzled and be like, oh yeah, sounds good, with the voice in the back of their head going, what the fuck was that guy talking about? And that's kind of Doom Patrol. But like I say, it works. And of course, Titans is coming off season 3, which you get Red Hood and all that stuff. So really great to see those shows continuing. And just great if you're a DC fan. It's more DC content. Switching over to some more movies that were confirmed. Without a lot of fanfare, like we didn't get a lot of... I should say like scenes or anything like that, but we know a Static Shock movie is on the way, which is awesome. Amazing news. They're doing a lot with Milestone Comics and those characters, which is great going forward. Super excited to see the future of that. Also in the animated side, we've got a Green Lantern movie confirmed, which the way they talked about it hinted at Blackest Night. And maybe Brightest Day, maybe combined into one movie, which would be a lot to cram into one animated movie. But we'll see what the actual plot synopsis of the Green Lantern one is. Super Sons animated movie, so Damian Wayne and Jonathan Kent and them having an animated movie together, which is cool. There's also, we saw our first trailer of Catwoman Hunted, which looks like a really cool story. I'm not the hugest anime fan, so the art style didn't grab me, but the story looked very cool. And it's nice to see Catwoman getting her own film, you know. Obviously, Batman will be part of it and that type of thing, but it's nice to see Catwoman getting some of her own kind of time in the spotlight, which is great. When it comes to HBO Max movies, this is where I was a little... disappointed. I was hoping, you know, there's been so much talk on these HBO movies that, you know, we've got Black Canary coming and Blue Beetle and Batgirl. And really, Black Canary was non-existent, which was a massive disappointment to me because I love the character. I thought it was a great portrayal in Birds of Prey. I love that they're bringing her back to be Black Canary again. So it would have been nice to acknowledge that, I think, at DC fandom. But they chose not to. Fine. Just, in my mind, a little oversight. Now, on the other side of that, we did get some stuff from Blue Beetle and Batgirl. Now, Blue Beetle, you know, I don't even think they've started shooting that yet, but they did give us a concept art image of his suit, and it looked pretty badass. I will definitely say it looked amazing in the concept art. So if it translates from that concept art to the screen, it's going to be great. It really is. And you could see, again, it's I get really super jazzed when you can see the passion in the people involved in the project. And especially in the little panel they had, the writer of Blue Beetle, you could just tell how much he loved writing this and the passion he has for this project. So, again, hopefully that passion translates to the screen. And then on the other side, on the Batgirl panel, again, more passion. They talked about her discovering being Batgirl, so it's definitely an origin story. The directors have come out and said the quote, real Batman will show up in Batgirl, which is interesting, right? Because who is that going to be? Because right now, as it stands today, there's three Batmen. Right, we've got Pattinson's Batman, Keaton's back, and Affleck's back. So by saying the real Batman is going to show up, I think they're being a little tongue-in-cheek, but that's the type of statement that people are just going to roll with. So if it is Keaton, does that, in some casual fans' eyes that maybe just see that head, because that's the type of statement that's going to get a headline, right? On in like a newspaper or something like that, and people are just going to read the headline, they're not going to read the article. And is that the type of thing, like, let's say it's Keaton, does that in a casual fan's mind damper Pattinson's Batman, or if Affleck does more stuff, does it, you know, dangerous statement there, but we'll see how that all plays out. They also confirmed, which was a huge question just in fandom, and it's a question that honestly doesn't matter, but because we're so in love with the source material, they asked if she was going to be a redhead, and they said yes. So they confirmed she's going to be a redhead. They also confirmed she'll have a cowl. It's not just going to be the version of Batgirl that just wore like kind of a domino mask or anything like that with a couple of bat ears. It's going to be a full-on cape and cowl. So that's very cool. So we got an idea of at least what the character might look like a little bit. But again, they haven't even started shooting this thing yet. So they had zero footage to show. So, you know, we have to wait. But still, a little disappointed. No Black Canary there. We got a little behind-the-scenes featurette on Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Looks like they're having fun shooting the movie. It really didn't tell us much about the movie. It was kind of one I debated on not even really mentioning it, but because it was there, sure. But really, it didn't do anything. It was just like, yeah, we're making the movie. No shit. We know you're making the movie. We got another look at the blue Aquaman suit, the stealth suit. Looks cool. Black Manta looks cool. Looks upgraded a little bit. But that's about it. That's about really all you got out of that behind-the-scenes footage. Obviously, Ocean Master's back. It looks like he's working with Aquaman in this one. So that's kind of akin to their relationship in the comics. Sometimes they are brothers. Sometimes they are enemies. So be curious to see more of Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, but in fairness, they just started working on the damn thing. So that's fair. Switching over to some video games, we got big, long, extended trailers for Suicide Squad versus the Justice League and for Gotham Knights. Both of these things look mind-blowingly good. Like, I've kind of fallen out of gaming a little bit just because of time. I miss it. There are some nights I'm like, man, I wish I was, you know, full on playing video games. These two look so good, it might pull me right back into gaming. Like, especially for me, the Gotham Knights one. You got Court of Owls there. They confirmed there's different talons in the game, like with different strengths and weaknesses, and just the characters. You know, Batgirl, Nightwing, Robin, Red Hood, just characters that I love, and the chance to play them and go up against the Court of Owls as a Batman fan, that's too much. And the story is intriguing in that they're hinting that he's dead. You know, Batman has died, and I just don't see that. I think there's another shoe to drop there. So I'm intrigued by the story as well. Suicide Squad versus Justice League looks really good. Obviously, it looks like the Justice League has fallen to the anti-life equation, and that's why they're kind of the villains in this game. They all have kind of the, you know, darkness around the eyes and whatnot. My only kind of hold back on the Suicide Squad versus Justice League as a game is really Harley, and she wasn't much in the trailer as far as like dialogue, but the little bit I've heard of the voice is kind of making me step back a bit. And Captain Boomerang in the game, he kind of looks, I don't know, like disheveled, which I guess it's a little bit from the air Suicide Squad inspired, but I don't know. I'm not digging the character design as much for Captain Boomerang. King Shark and Deadshot look great, but yeah. So we'll see. But the game does look good. It just, if I had to pick one, I'd be going Gotham Knights right now, hands down. They had a little panel discussing Wonder Woman as she is about to celebrate her 80th anniversary. It's a year-long celebration. They have a big comic book story that they're going to unveil. There's going to be lots of Wonder Woman stuff over the next year, which is great. Character deserves it. And I was amazed instantly after that panel, because they had a panel where they had Patty Jenkins, who's the director of Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 84, and Linda Carter, who obviously was Wonder Woman on the TV show. And they're talking about Wonder Woman and her place in history and all that kind of stuff. And they mentioned that Gal couldn't be there. You know, she just had a kid and all that kind of stuff. So they mentioned she couldn't be there. And then, you know, Linda brought it up and very nonchalantly about how Patty is working on Wonder Woman 3. And Linda's very excited to see where that goes and blah, blah, blah. And they had like a little 2-second conversation about the third Wonder Woman film. And I saw headlines pop up of like, they confirmed Wonder Woman 3. They confirmed that in like the end of December, early January. After Wonder Woman 84 came out, Warner Brothers and DC came out and said, oh yeah, look, Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot are coming back for Wonder Woman 3. It's a done deal. So the fact that people are going, oh, this confirms it, I'm like, it was already fucking confirmed. And people are shitting on it going, oh, they really buried a Wonder Woman 3 announcement. And it's like, well, they did kind of nonchalantly make that announcement months ago. So yeah, now I guess the way Patty and Linda Carter were looking at it was like, this is old news. This isn't something that we need to fanfare, because everybody knows that Wonder Woman 3 is coming. Maybe that's, you know, a little bit of ignorance on their part and mine as well, because I was under the same assumption when I started to see those headlines. I was like, are you shitting me? I knew this movie was coming, and I am by no ways an insider. I'm on the other coast in a different country. I am in no way an insider on what's happening with Wonder Woman 3, but I knew the movie was being made. So that kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. But I'm excited to see wherever they go with Wonder Woman. We got a behind-the-scenes look at Shazam, Fury of the Gods. The new suits they have look sweet. We saw those in some still photos earlier, so that wasn't necessarily super, super new. And it looks promising. Like, it looks good. I'm a little concerned about the villains. I always get a little worried in comic book movies. It's been hit and miss, right? Sometimes these characters are created and they do very, very well, and other times these characters are created and they are very forgettable. When writers go and say, I'm going to create new villains or new characters and drop them in this world, it always makes me a little worried, right? Especially when you're talking about Shazam, who has a ton of villains. There's a ton of characters that you could pull from to have as a foe against Shazam. You didn't necessarily have to go and create new villains. Now, Having said that, Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu are two amazing actresses, so I'm not worried about the portrayal of these characters. I guess I'm just more concerned about how they're going to fit into Shazam and that world. But we'll see. We'll see. But that is my hesitation right now with Shazam Fury of the Gods. The behind-the-scenes stuff they showed looked good, but I'm holding reservation until I see some kind of full-on trailers for Shazam. So the two biggest things to come out of DC fandom was obviously the Batman trailer, which we will get to in a second. 100% we'll get to that. The other one that I've seen that people on the internet, some people are just shitting their pants over, and let me say, I think wrongfully so, is they changed Superman's motto or mission statement or whatever you want to call it. They changed it. Back in the day, obviously, it was truth, justice, and the American way. And that was, you know, kind of his catchphrase, as it were. And the thing is that worked when Superman was first published, right? He wasn't a global phenomenon when you first started reading Superman. And I would say even for the first better part of the character's existence, he was, you know, known in Europe or known in Asia, but no one cared, I don't think, as much as the character has grown to mean globally. The Superman story is that of you know, obviously of a guy from another world that comes and lands on our planet. And really, the struggle of Superman has always been him, you know, kind of finding his humanity. So the fact that they're changing the motto, especially now that people around the world love Superman, makes a ton of sense to me. And I like what they changed it to. It's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. And I don't know how you can have fault with that. You know, I really don't. I get it, you know, if you're an ultra patriot of America and you're like, it's the American way. Is the American way not a better tomorrow? Is that not kind of what, you know, it's like, you know, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness is being happy, is having a better tomorrow. So in my head, when I see people really pissing on this, I'm just like, take a step back and think about it for a second. You know, I see, oh, it's wokeness. And it's not that. It's Superman is a global character. So even if you want to make it cynical and take it from a business perspective, I don't think you're selling a lot of truth, justice, and American way t-shirts in France. You know, you might not be. Truth, justice, and a better tomorrow? Yeah, you're probably going to sell a few more of those. You know, so even if you want to break it down to the cynical side of it, as a business decision, it makes more sense. But for the character, it makes more sense. Superman's doing good in the comic books around the world. He protects planet Earth. So it makes sense for his mission statement to not be tied to one country or city or anything like that. So I like the change. I think it fits. I think it's something that you could put in a movie tomorrow, which is also probably part of the thought process on there. But, you know, if you want a good chuckle, go read the comments on DC's, you know, Facebook page where they posted some art with the new saying. It's worth, of you know, 5 minutes of your time just to laugh. So the last thing, they waited till the end to give us the Batman trailer, the Robert Pattinson, you know, Batman. And I got to tell you, this movie looks so good, like so good. It's gritty. It's dark. I know Matt Reeves, the director, has been saying all throughout the production, the writing, everything, that he is leaning heavily into kind of the film noir side of Batman, kind of the detective side of Batman. And now, I'll honestly say, I didn't get a lot of that out of the trailer outside of the tone of the film. There was a lot of action sequences in the trailer, which was great. You know, it that definitely was not an issue because the action was good. The one thing that struck me was how raw the fight choreography is in this film. We saw a little bit of it in the first trailer at last year's FanDome. And then in this one as well, you really get that sense that this Batman, because this is like year one, year two of Batman in this movie. And you get the sense that this is a guy still learning his way and still dealing with a lot of rage inside. And whenever you watch any of the action sequences in this, when he's fighting somebody, you know, there's kind of that sense of Batman holding back when he's beating up a street thug, right? Because he doesn't want to kill them. He doesn't want to maim them. He just wants to put them down. And in this kind of trailer and the bit of the action I've seen, it's kind of the opposite. You get the sense that, you know, this Batman at this point in his life wants to hurt. He wants to physically hurt these bad guys because he's taking his anger and frustration and rage from that young boy out on every criminal he comes across. At least that's how it comes across to me in the trailers. And I like it. It looks good. And it's going to provide a character arc for this Batman. You know, Matt Reeves mentioned most of the time when we get Batman in the movies, we see the origin and then we jump ahead to where, you know, he's Batman and he's been Batman for a while and he's got all his toys, he's got all his gadgets, and he's kind of the hero that we know. And I have a feeling this is a very familiar take on Batman, but there's going to be some things that we're not, we haven't seen before in a film. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. And just the cinematography of the thing, it was jaw-dropping. It really was. Like, there were scenes in that trailer where I sat back in awe of the scene and just the shot that I was seeing. I was like, man, that is pretty and gritty, and I'm so there for it. Like, if they could sell tickets today, the movie doesn't come out till March, I would buy them today and just pin the ticket on my fridge, counting down until I could see that movie. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal trailer. Great way to end DC FanDome 2021. Really, I'm already looking forward to FanDome 2022. If you have not seen any of these trailers or this behind-the-scenes footage, thankfully DC released it all, and you can check it out on our socials. The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook. I got most of it linked up there at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And if you had any thoughts on DC FanDome yourself, of course, share them with me. The one thing that you're going to see online is there's obviously the Restore the Snyderverse. People are upset that that did not happen this year at FanDome. I don't know that we're ever going to get the Snyderverse restored. Okay. But if you see that and people are crapping on FanDome because of that, I don't know what to tell them. I really don't. I wish I could help them out with that. I wish they could see the great stuff that I saw. But unfortunately, they couldn't, which is kind of sad. But yeah, if you had any thoughts on FanDome, share them with me. The Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And until we chat again, have a great week.